This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, interesting first hour. Now, I mentioned during our first hour about the story I read today about Rick Pitino having tested positive for COVID-19 and had a quarantine, and a lot of his team has had it as well with a couple of pauses, and you wonder how they are going to go moving forward. And I thought it'd be a really good idea to get on the Hall of Fame coach, Rick Pitino of the Iona Gales, and he's nice enough to join us right now. Rick, it's Michael and Peter. How are you doing today?
I'm okay, guys. Just weathering the storm, so to speak.
Talk to me about the diagnosis when you found out you were positive. Were you symptomatic or asymptomatic?
No, I was. What happened, I went for the vaccine. I was able to get the vaccine. And I was about 8 days into the vaccine. No repercussions from that at all. I have an assistant also who was Jimmy V's assistant back in the day at Iona, Tommy Abadamarco, who's 71. So we got the vaccine. About 8 days later, we brought in a young man from Kentucky who was eligible from high school to come back second semester. And I think I caught it from him as well as some other members of the team, even though he did test negative before and after coming. So I got it, and as soon as I found out that he had it and I was working him out one-on-one individually, I immediately went for a rapid test on Saturday along with Tom Abadamarco. He tested negative. I tested positive on the rapid test. So I started my quarantine then. I'm lucky because I had fatigue, headaches, muscle aches, but nothing. The flu was much worse than my symptoms that I had. And so about 7-8 days into it, at my age, I felt I was getting over it. And then quarantined myself, came out, feel fine now. But some of my players for the first time were symptomatic, and we haven't had that yet.
Your program, Rick, has really been hit hard. I know at the beginning of the year you were a voice of reason. Maybe we should push this all back a little bit. How are you going to get through this season, Rick?
Well, we haven't played since December 23rd, and I replaced a coach that was absolutely fantastic, 4 straight NCAAs, 9 year great coach of St. Mary's Manhasset, Tim Kloos. And last year was the first dysfunctional year of Iona basketball in a long time because he was not coaching. I think they were something like 12-16 or 17. They did not play well. They underachieved. And it showed the brilliance of the person that I replaced. So we had to do the whole program over, 11 new players, 3 returning players. And it's been a very difficult season because we haven't been able to get our hooks into the players and find out what we have, what we don't have, because we haven't played since December 23rd. I'm hoping that we can get 4 games in without any other pauses, so to speak. But I am concerned. This is the period I was most concerned why I pushed May Madness, because now we've been in a semi-bubble, no students on campus, and we have had a major outbreak. Now the students have come back. So I am overly concerned about that, and I'm hoping we can somehow get 4 games in so we could get to the conference tournament.
How would you even approach that? Like, how with everything you've ever done in college basketball, nothing resembles this. How do you get a team together that is not cohesive for a handful of games and then jump right into a conference tournament?
You know, I look at this as I always have high ambition for a basketball team. I really don't with this team because we haven't practiced. We're not together. Everybody's new. We're just trying to survive, get through it, maybe get lucky come tournament time. But right now, the most important thing is let's just try and stay healthy. Let's try and survive this. Let's let these young players maybe possibly down the road get a vaccine and see what happens from there. Maybe next year will be a healthy, fine basketball season.
So you've had a lot of players test positive, Rick, but not enough to have herd immunity. So there's a chance, God forbid, that more players could get it too with students coming to campus.
Exactly. We've had about 6 or 7 players test positive out of 16. We've had a grad assistant, a strength coach, a three or four managers test positive. Now me as a head coach.
Wow.
So it's we're hoping that we can get through it. But again, we were really conscious of wearing masks everywhere, staying in our semi-bubble. Obviously, the players had to go to the supermarket, go to eat, so to speak. But we brought meals in as a training table, and we still got infected. So that being said, the students coming back, I'm not overly optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic that we can get through it.
Now, I'm wondering, because of your age, I believe you're 68 years old, when you were positive, on a personal level, Rick, did you get nervous? Did you get scared?
Well, I'm in good shape. That helped. I don't have any underlying problems. I'm not scared as much as I was concerned that maybe I should not only quarantine, but make sure I stay on top of reading my oxygen level, of taking my temperature. Fortunately, my oxygen level was always fine. I never got a temperature. I never got chills. So that was good. But I was concerned. You're 68. Regardless of what shape you're in, you hear so many stories. There's 400,000 deaths. I've always been concerned with the likes of Jim Boeheim, Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski, Tom Izzo, myself, guys that are over 65 that, you know, could get it. And I was just always praying that nobody got to the point where they were really sick. Now, interesting enough, one of my ex-players, John Pelfrey, who's very young, relatively speaking, he got very, very sick, very sick, was sick for a good 2 to 3 weeks. Travis Ford, one of my players, has had it. So I was, after hearing the stories about John, I became concerned.
Now, Zach Brazilla in the New York Post today said that maybe college basketball should do away with the conference tournaments because it's just, if you're not going to be putting people in a bubble, there's not that much of a turnaround from the conference tournaments to the NCAA tournament that you might lose teams. Do you see the wisdom in this, and do you agree with him or not?
I would say the Power Five conferences, that where they're going to have, like the Big Ten's going to have 9 or 10 teams. Mm-hmm. If Michigan decided, look, we don't need to play in a conference tournament, Iowa said we don't need to play in a conference tournament, I believe you have to have a minimum of 8 teams compete. But then there are the Duke Kentuckys of the world that are young, hopefully improving. Michigan State in the Big Ten, they want a chance to play in the NCAA tournament. So they need that to get in. The MAC schools, which have been hit probably as hard as any conference in all of basketball, we need to play it because we don't have an automatic berth. There's nobody in our conference with a record that's so stellar that they would automatically get in. So we need to play the conference tournament.
I was thinking about this today when Fordham announced that its position is open. I thought that Iona made such a great move bringing you in. I mean, a Hall of Famer. And this is not a big-time school like Kentucky that you're used to, or Louisville. These New York mid-market teams, are they good jobs, Rick, or is this more work than you thought it was going to be?
Iona is the reason I took this job, you know, I was offered a couple of similar-type jobs, like Iona, a couple, in the last 2 years. And I did not take it because they were Mideastern-type schools that, you know, if you're going to end a career, you want to end it at a place that – well, for me, it's where I grew up. Mm-hmm. It's a small little private school like a Providence College that was very dear to my heart. And I get to finish my career in the state that I grew up in the city that I grew up in. And Iona, the one thing that I checked out more than anything else, from Jim Valvano to Pat Kennedy to Tim Welsh to Kevin Willard to Tim Kloos, probably forgetting one or two along the way, but they all had one common thing. They all absolutely loved it. Jimmy V told Dick Vitale it was the best place he's ever worked. So, you know, most people used it as a starting ground to bigger and better things. You know, I've been fortunate and blessed in my life to coach the Knicks, the Celtics, Louisville, Kentucky, Providence, Boston U. It's a great way to end a career for me. I'm God willing, I have good 6-7 years left in coaching. I've absolutely loved coaching the players. I treat it the same way I did at Kentucky and Louisville, except we ride buses now.
Well, I was going to say,
a little bit different.
What is the biggest adjustment, the thing that just stands out from being at a big-time school like Kentucky and being at Iona?
I think the infrastructure, the way you travel, you're always on national television. Obviously, you can recruit any player anywhere. And I've taken a different level. I'm going to recruit the same type of player recruited at Louisville, except I'm probably going to have to use the international market. So next year we have a young man coming in from Australia. We already have in our program a young man from the Netherlands, Germany, Sweden, Rwanda, and Nigeria. I have two players, one from Rwanda and Nigeria. The one from Rwanda has not played yet because he has a fractured groin. And my young man from Nigeria, I would have recruited both players at Kentucky and Louisville. So I'm fortunate there. I have a good group coming in next year. But I have to do a little more homework. I have to go a little more international to get bigs. But we're going to go after pros, guys that have to be developed, like Francisco Garcia, Gorky Zhang, Montrezl Harrell, players that weren't highly ranked. Now, Terry Rozier, for instance, in high school was ranked 78th.
Right.
So we have to do our homework. We have to evaluate. We hope to make Iona something special. But it's a lot different. It's we don't have 22,000 people. We don't play in a pro arena. We play in a nice little arena with a charming campus, and we have to do our job and evaluate properly.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Now, I'd be remiss. I have like a doctorate on the phone of basketball, so I just have to ask you something on a local team. The big three they have in Brooklyn, can those three disparate talents, or some, not so disparate, that might be the problem, can they work in the NBA, Rick?
Well, you know, back in the day when I coached the Knicks and you had Bird, McHale, and Parrish, and you had Showtime, you had three All-Stars. And back then they used to say, you need three All-Stars to win a championship. You had certainly had Michael Jordan, you had Scottie, and you had Rodman. So you needed three All-Stars. Well, they have three All-Stars. Now, the question is, can they play good enough defense? And I always base defense, like my teams in college were always top five, according to Pomeroy, at the defensive end, except that we were the opposite of Virginia. We pushed the pace. They slowed down the pace. So you can always be a great defensive team as well as being a high-scoring team, but I base it on field goal defense from the three-point line as well as the field. How many times do you keep people off the foul line? Because that's misleading sometimes with your statistics. If you're putting people, you're fouling constantly, putting them to the line, that doesn't go into the percentages. So I look at the Nets, and you have to say, okay, what's their field goal defense from the three? What's their field goal defense? Not how many points they give up. If they give up like 110, 12 points, but the field goal defense for the game was 45% and 34% from the three, and they force turnovers, they're playing good defense. So, yes, they can do it. Now, Kevin Durant is one of my favorite players of all time. I put him in my top 10 of all time because he has a great mid-range game. He has a great three-point game, and he's also an outstanding passer. He's very, very long, and he's one of the most gifted players. Coming off an Achilles, he's one of the most gifted players I've watched in my 40-plus years. So, I like Steve Nash a lot as a coach. On the flip side, the guy from the Knicks is doing an incredible job. I knew he would. I've known him since he's been a young coach. I knew he would do this type job. And he's the perfect coach for a young basketball team.
My question, though, I understand with the defense, Rick, but with the Nets, will you have Harden and Irving, who are both ball-dominant guys, can that work with one basketball and the great Kevin Durant?
You know, what I like to see, what I don't like is, I don't care for, as a basketball purist, I don't like guys coming down and dribbling through their legs and dominating the ball while everybody stands around. That's just me. That's why I love EuroLeague basketball so much, because of the ball movement. With the Nets, I think if they create in the first 6-7 seconds early ball movement, and then they let Kyrie, Harden, and Durant do their thing after some quick ball movement and quick offensive movement. Then I think they'll survive and survive well, because all three guys are tremendous passers, and all three guys have a basketball acumen that's off the charts. They all see the floor. They all can pass. They all know the game. So I think they can survive and survive well. And there's no better guy to really coach these guys than a Steve Nash, because there's a guy who's got a doctorate in basketball.
Coach Pitino, you 1 year ago today, we lost the great Kobe Bryant. And obviously you saw his entire career. You also were a part of TNT's draft coverage the night he was drafted. What can you say about Kobe Bryant, the basketball player?
Well, I went to see Kobe as a high school basketball player because people were telling me about him. I wanted to see. I thought he would go pro, but I still wanted to go see him. And I went away saying, you know, there's the complete basketball player. There's somebody who can catch, pass, and shoot. There's somebody who can turn around and guard the other team's best player as a young player. As he went along in his career, he was the most, along with the, and I'm going to forget his name now, the defensive great player for the 49ers.
Ronnie Lott?
Ronnie Lott and Kobe Bryant were the two fiercest competitors I've seen, also the most incredibly focused athletes I've seen. And Kobe is the most focused basketball player. If kickboxing would make him quicker, he went to kickboxing. If boxing would make him his hand quickness better, he would go to boxing. Whatever it would take in the offseason to become better, he would do. I've never, ever experienced a more focused athlete who had a killer instinct than Kobe Bryant to be the best at his trade. And then he started giving speeches. Now, I'll tell you an interesting story, guys, because I said to Bill Belichick, I became friendly with him throughout the years. I said, Bill, out of all the people that have spoken to your team, who is the best speaker? And he's had probably hundreds. And he said, well, I would say that the players thought without question that Kobe Bryant was the best speaker. And I would say I put him right up there as well. So I thought that was quite a tribute. You know, everybody was trying to hire Kobe as a speaker because of his Mamba mentality. And he was mesmerizing when he spoke to those teams. And I've never seen anybody like him be as focused to greatness as Kobe Bryant. He was just so focused in.
Would he?
And we miss him terribly, obviously.
You think, Coach, would he have been an instant star in the college ranks? Like, would he have dominated college basketball?
No doubt about it. No question about it. Because of his fierce nature. You know, he's a top five player of all time. He is somebody that just was so focused on being great at everything he did. He wanted to get better and better and better and better every single day and every year. And he was willing, you know, when he worked for Coach K in the Olympics, you know, when they all left, he would go back to weight training. He would go back in the gym. And this is after a full season. So there's probably no athlete, to my knowledge, in my 40-plus years, that has ever had the focus to be great as Kobe Bryant. And, you know, it's something that we miss terribly. We miss him terribly as a great basketball player. He was too young to move on, and it saddens all of us who have been in the game to see Kobe have that accident for him and his family.
When he was coming out of Lower Merion, Rick, did you have a chance to recruit him? I believe at that point, were you at Kentucky?
I did recruit him, and I did go see him play, as I stated earlier. I did go see him play, but I felt right away that he would not I was wasting my time.
Gotcha.
That he would go right to the NBA. I remember LeBron's, I forgot if his father or mother coming up to me at a game and saying, you know, LeBron's interested in your school. And I just said, that's great. He'll never play college basketball. And I felt the same way with Kobe. Dwight Howard I went to see, and his dad said he's thinking about college. I never sent him another letter, never made another phone call. So there's certain guys that when you go to see him play, you realize your time is up. The only guy I thought I had that should have gone to college was Sebastian Telfair. I went to see his final game. I heard a rumor that he was considering going pro. He'd be the first point guard to do that, but I thought that that was a mistake. I thought he going a year of college and working on his jump shot would be good for him.
Evidence suggests you were probably right.
Rick, do you stay in touch with Lou Lamoriello?
I do. I had dinner with Lou a short time ago, and I bought I'm a hockey fan because of Lou. And now I was a Devils fan. I went to his induction into the Hall of Fame in Toronto, and now I'm a season ticket holder of the new arena that's going to open up. I bought two season tickets, and the gentleman who sold me the tickets and Lou put me in touch with said, listen, I could offer you a great deal and give you a discount on a 10-year plan. I said, obviously, Lou has not told you how old I am, so let's keep it to a 3-year stint.
Now, Rick, I'm gonna give you a little lead on something. Our general manager at the station, Tim McCarthy, is an Iona grad, and he's loaded, so he's ready to dump some money into the program, so you should get a hold of him.
I will definitely follow up on that.
Tim McCarthy. All right, so write that down. He's got a lot of money.
I wrote it down, and I got him down for $100,000, $25,000 a year for 4 years.
That's in his ashtray. Don't even worry about it. He'll do that. Hey, I'm so glad that we had you on. I'm glad that you sound that you're okay, and I got nervous when I read that. So stay healthy, stay well, and I hope your team gets on the floor real soon.
Thanks, guys. You stay safe also.
Okay, that's Rick Pitino, the Hall of Famer, and as you could hear, right in the middle of the interview, Donnie is back. A lot of people were asking, so Don, welcome back. How you doing, bud?
Oh, very good. And you? You guys sound great.
Yeah, thank you.
Life sometimes gets in the way, but everything's good. I'm glad that you were able to hold down the fort.
It's tough without you, though.
It's a lot of space. It's 70%.
So you're going to buy into that garbage as well.
You know, even if the number's not 70, Don, it's a significant amount of airspace that we have to fill.
It's a proper amount. It's I think probably where it should be, around 30%.
I think it's closer to 50.
Well, it should be 33 1/3 for all
of
us.
Well, Peter's
right?
At about 12. So then you and I,
if I'm
get
at 20,
88. We split the 88.
I think I do 20.
Okay.
I would say this is the legitimate breakdown if you want it. If you want the truth, I'll tell you the truth. Don 45. Michael 35, me 20.
I talk more than Michael, really.
Yeah. Peter, there was one thing in that interview before Don joined us. I cringed. I'd never heard that. One of his players has a fractured groin. Have you ever heard of a
fractured?
I've heard of a pulled groin.
Excuse me?
It's not what you want.
No, it's in a word.
Troubling.
Troubling.
Very.
All right, we'll come back. The Mets, according to several reports, have made an offer to Trevor Bauer. So where does that stand? What does that mean? JT Realmuto is off the board. He's re-signed with Philadelphia. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.